And welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Dr. Ben Solomon. He is the principal investigator for the SPRING clinical trial and medical oncologist with Avera Cancer Institute, and he's joining me from his office in Sioux Falls. Dr. Solomon, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kara.
So let's, announcement was made a week or so ago about Avera enrolling the first patients in this landmark lung cancer tri-therapy clinical trial, right? That's what it's called.
Yeah, we announced that last week, and we're very excited to be opening this study. This is this study represents the culmination of a lot of work that we've been doing along with an organization called WIN, which is an international collaboration of multiple different research institutions with a common goal of improving precision oncology outcomes and bringing those to our patients.
Okay, and we've talked before about WIN, the Worldwide Innovative Networking Consortium, on this program before. And so this is this one of the first studies that's ready to go in a clinical setting?
Yeah, WIN has had a prior trial that sort of laid the groundwork for what is being done in the SPRING study. And WIN has developed, as part of that prior work, an algorithm that is hypothesized to help us predict which treatments might be best for patients with lung cancer. And so this trial is working toward testing that algorithm and its ability to predict treatment outcomes.
Okay, so let's start first by defining SPRING.
Yeah, SPRING is survival prolongation using rational innovative genomics. And as is common in today's world of clinical trials, often they have sort of more catchy names, and SPRING was a way to do that. The original trial that WIN participated in was called WINTER, and so WINTER, what follows after WINTER is SPRING.
Okay. Okay, so this is where you take the genetics of the tumor, is that correct?
Correct. So we actually, the very unique thing about the study compared to what has been done in the past, and this is sort of what sets it out or sets it in a different category, is that we use both tumor tissue, cancer tissue, and analogous normal tissue. So in this case, we're studying lung cancer. So we use the lung cancer tissue, and then also we analyze normal lung tissue. And that helps us to determine what really is abnormal and what really is going on in the lung cancer, because we can compare it to the normal tissue in that patient.
And there's a three drug protocol cocktail that talk a little
Correct.
Bit about
yep.
that.
Yeah, so the there are three drugs, avelumab, axitinib, and palbociclib. These are three drugs that actually have FDA approvals in other areas, but they have not been used in a tri-therapy combo together, so that's one unique aspect of the study. The avelumab is an immunotherapy drug, so as people who follow cancer news at all, or even just watch TV and see direct-to-consumer commercials, they realize that there's a big movement in oncology toward not just using chemotherapy or targeted drugs, but also drugs that stimulate the immune system. So immunotherapy is a component of this study as well. And it is sort of unique that we would be putting these drugs together in what will ultimately be a first-line therapy trial. The initial trial, as it is now, is a trial that allows prior treatment for lung cancer. But as we go forward and we move on to the second phase of the study, it will be a first-line study. And so to have a triple therapy combination that includes immunotherapy is sort of unique in the world of lung cancer at this point in time.
And so everybody receives the same combination in this
Correct.
Study?
correct. So in this study, everyone is on the same drug combo. And then in retrospect, we look, we apply the algorithm to the patients that were in the study. And then we look and see, did that algorithm help us to predict which patients would be the most likely to respond versus those who may be a little less likely to respond? In order to apply the algorithm in a going forward or prospective fashion in future studies, we have to have more data that helps to support that this algorithm is robust enough to help us to predict which patients would likely respond to different therapies in a prospective or going forward type fashion.
Is there a way to change the amount of medication in this three-drug combination depending on...
All of the... studies, any study, generally have built-in dose modifications into the protocol. The initial phase one of this study will involve a what's called a dose escalation, where we start with low doses with the initial cohorts of patients, initial groups of patients, and then going forward, we gradually increase the doses to help us confirm that that combination of drugs is well tolerated together.
Okay. So right now you're setting the baseline for the algorithm. Is that a simple way of saying it?
That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is laying a foundation for future trials that we will participate in with WIN. And one thing I would like to emphasize, because I think, since this is a South Dakota program, there's a lot of exciting things and research going on in the city of Sioux Falls and the state of South Dakota. All the way across the state. And I think one thing that is important to recognize is that this is not a trial that we are participating in, but a trial that we helped to design and write. And so we are heavily involved in this and anticipate that we will continue to be involved in subsequent trials that WIN releases in the future.
And so designing and writing a trial, talk about that process with me just a little bit.
It's been quite an experience for me personally, just personally and academically. The amount of collaboration that's required to get a trial like this off the ground, which is an international study and is what's called an investigator-initiated study, which means the driving force behind all of this is the investigators, as opposed to a study that is handed down by a drug company, for instance. So I've been able to work with people not just across the country but around the world to work on this study design and implementation, and that's happened over the course of a few years, and I think that the work that's gone into that really lays the groundwork for subsequent studies that will follow. And for instance, all of the work that we've put into this will apply to future studies. And so hopefully other trials don't take that long to develop and implement. We expect these to start rolling out quicker because of the work that we've done.
Tell me about that aha moment for you when you said, we should do it this way.
I think a lot of it's been such a collaborative effort that I can't take sole credit for any one aha moment, as you say. But one thing I would say is that it's been eye-opening for me to have investigators from other institutions, well-known investigators. The global coordinator for this study is Rozel Kurzrock, who is a major leader out at University of California, San Diego, and previously led the phase one trial program at MD Anderson. And the complimentary things that she says about how we have been able to participate in and lead within this study has been really eye-opening from the perspective of showing how much we can contribute to a global effort. I think another thing that's been very key was just the event last week, which was a culmination of the work that we've done to launch this study, having some representation from both WIN as well as the National Foundation for Cancer Research visiting with us regarding the work that we're doing.
So you're open to have patients come and sign up for this now, for this trial. What is that process like?
So there is a very strict screening process for any clinical trial, and I would emphasize that is that the WindSpring trial is no different. For the initial phase one part of the study, patients will generally have been treated with prior therapy for their lung cancer, but no more than two prior lines of therapy. And we'll have to fit other strict eligibility criteria that are written into the protocol. The process would be to contact or call our cancer center for an appointment if they're not already a patient of ours here, if they would like us to formally screen them. That may involve just sending some records or discussing with us about their case, or it may be that they would need to come for a visit if it seems as though the patient is eligible, but we need to kind of go through things with a fine-tooth comb.
Have you had anybody qualify as of yet?
We're working on it. We're actively screening. And, you know, the thing is, you can't make this stuff up. So you have to have the right patient at the right time. And we follow the protocol closely. And so there's no deviations from that. And quite frankly, we have been still waiting on the drug until just now. We're now receiving the drug. Even if we had a patient, say, last month, we would not have been able to enroll them until we actually have the drug on campus to treat them. So all of that happens in good time, and I'm excited that we'll be probably one of the better enrollers to this study within the WIND Consortium.
Well, how common is lung cancer in this part of the country?
Lung cancer is globally is the leading cause of cancer-related death. In terms of diagnoses, in women and men, it falls slightly behind breast cancer in women and prostate cancer in men in terms of numbers of diagnoses. But in terms of lethality, it tends to present at a much later stage than some of those other more common diseases, and because of that, has a very much bigger impact on cancer-related deaths. And so, we'd love to move the needle big time with this effort over the course of the next several years in terms of how well people do with advanced lung cancer. But the other part of the equation is trying to find lung cancer earlier. Patients need to know that if they're a heavy smoker, current heavy smoker, or have quit within the last 15 years, that they may be eligible for screening for lung cancer. And many patients maybe don't know that much about that. And so screening for lung cancer is important, as well as some newer efforts in terms of blood tests that are under research to try to detect cancer at an earlier stage.
And what is a typical screening for?
It's a CT scan, a CAT scan of the chest, done yearly. And it's a special kind of a CAT scan. It's not a full dose CAT scan in terms of the radiation exposure. It's a low dose CAT scan, and so the risk of that, although appreciable, and there is probably some risk of radiation exposure over time, the risk is quite low and not thought to preclude yearly scans. So it was done in that way in order to help make the test safer in the long run.
So you incorporate genetics in this study as well.
Right. So the whole basis of cancer development is based in sort of molecular changes in cells that used to be ours and now they're a cancer cell. And that is not only just the genes of the cells, but other control factors that relate to how genes are used by the cell to make downstream products like proteins and things in the cell. And so it's not just genomics, but we also look at the downstream product of the genomic changes, which is called RNA sequencing.
And that's why you test the healthy cells as well as
that's
the cancer.
Absolutely right. So it's actually the RNA testing is particularly important in the algorithm that we're developing to help predict treatment responses. And it's the differences in the downstream products that are produced by the cell between normal and abnormal, or normal and cancer cells, that that makes this algorithm unique.
And when you're in phase one now, how long before you think you'll be moving to phase two?
That's going to be variable and will also depend on our global partners in terms of the numbers of patients that they are able to enroll once they're open. Phase one trials typically enroll a smaller number of patients in total. So, you know, once we have achieved what's called the recommended phase two doses of the drugs, then we would move on to phase two, and that will probably occur over the course of the next calendar year, I would expect.
Okay.
And then we would be moving on to phase two, which would be a set dose of the drugs, but a similar protocol overall.
Other projects that you're working on, Dr. Solomon?
Well, along with our collaboration with Wynn, we have many different trials that we're in the midst of developing. Specifically, trials that are hopefully going to detect or help us to detect cancer at an earlier stage. So that's one of the goals of Wynn. But then also take the SPRING trial and then broaden it. Broaden the concept so that we're not just treating a smaller subset of patients with lung cancer, but eventually rolling that out to patients with other types of cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, others as well. You know, we at Avera, we're not just working with Wynn. That's one of our biggest collaborators in terms of investigator-initiated studies. But we also have other investigator-initiated studies in multiple other tumor types that we're working on, ovarian cancer, as I mentioned, breast cancer, to name a few.
I had a question from a listener who wanted to know if this is something people could contribute financially toward to help.
Any financial contributors would be best directed to the Avera Foundation, and decisions about directing funds and how best to support these efforts would be best handled in that way. Patients can also, or not patients, but any donor could also make donations to Wynn as well, because there's a global fundraising effort from Wynn. But I think I would have to direct questions about those to those organizations specifically.
All right. Dr. Ben Solomon, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Kara. Thanks for having me on.
Okay.